Hello, Top Dogs community. I'm Stream Arcadad.
And I'm Kit Clausen.
We're very excited to introduce our lovely Top Dogs community to Paws Fur Pride, a fundraising team led by Ursa and Arden Wolfsky. So, gentlemen, why don't you introduce yourselves? Let's start with you, Ursa.
Sure. So, I'm Ursa, or Last Ursa. You can find me on most spaces. And yeah, just a little bit about me. I'm a singer. I do all sorts of singing content, all that kind of stuff, singing videos, all that stuff on VR chat, things like that.
And I'm Arden Wolfsky, your online bartender, found on most platforms under the same handle.
You guys are here to talk about this charity fundraiser you guys are working on. Can you tell us about that?
Absolutely. The fundraiser we're doing for Pride Month for this year. And like I've been doing this fundraiser. This is my third year doing it. And this year I decided to partner with Arden. And together we formed the team of Paws for Pride. And we're running this fundraiser for an organization known as Trans Lifeline, which this organization basically helps out trans people in crisis through both running a hotline, but also offering micro grants to trans people in need. So part of the fundraiser, what we're doing is one of the parts is we actually have a t-shirt. It's kind of a texture. Right now it's set up specifically for the Winter Paw canine. But, and if Arden turns around, you can actually see the back of the shirt as well. So this texture is available currently on Gumroad for basically, and any money that's made beyond the Gumroad's fees is going directly into the charity. And then also mentioning for any other avatars out there, if you have t-shirts, you want this design to go onto that t-shirt, you can reach out to me through any of my social media at Last Ursa, and we can certainly work something out so that we can get this texture onto a t-shirt for any avatar. So just let me know.
To further the celebration of the community, as well as bring attention to this cause, we'll be hosting two special events. The first one on June 14th at 8 p.m. We'll be streaming live from our platforms in Fursuit and getting into some furry shenanigans, having some great discussions. The second one will be on June 28th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time as well. And we'll be doing a community game night, having friends stop by, visit, play games with us. It'll be a great time. And then additionally, we'll be hosting a raffle. So anyone who donates to the event will be put into the raffle to win a custom designed cocktail by me, as well as some other fantastic prizes.
I remember 2 years ago at FWA, you made a custom drink for every single podcaster on the Top Dogs podcast. Your drinks were amazing. So anybody who wins that contest, I can guarantee you, you're going to be happy and satisfied.
Thanks.
I did.
Oh my God. Wait, that's one's for me?
Mm-hmm.
Or everybody has a different... Oh, no way.
Are you kidding?
You guys, you made a different drink for every one of us.
I'm the drippy boy.
Okay. Yeah. That is fucking awesome.
You can just mark it down.
I'm right here.
Fictitious.
You're working it for sure.
Fictitious grumpy.
Oh, thank you so much. It was a lot of fun working with you guys to make those. They're fantastic drinks as well. But yeah, anyone who donates, just please make sure to include your username and the best platform to reach you in the message section, can't talk, on the donation page.
To be able to join us for either of these live events, be sure to check out both Arden and my social media. We'll have links to both our TikToks or our Twitch stream channels so that you'll be able to join us and hang out with us. And we really look forward to seeing you at these events.
Also, a big thank you to the Top Dogs crew for having us here to help spread the word. We really appreciate it and all that you do for the community as well.
Yes,
absolutely. We love helping out. And if we can reach out as many people as possible for this charity event, that's going to be a good thing. It's going to be a win for everybody.
Yes,
absolutely.
Absolutely. Happy Pride Month, everyone.
Yay, Pride Month. Gotta end with a good day. Oh, I've been wanting to test something before we start recording. It does.
Oh. Wait.
Who's this imposter?
Hey. Oops. Kit.
Oops. Oh no. Oh. You did it again.
Oh, are they?
They might. They are. Oh, yeah, they're on your side.
Oh, okay. So it's a gesture. Hello, everyone. In today's Top Dogs podcast episode, we're exploring the fascinating journey of being a brony to becoming a furry. We'll uncover the origins of our interest in the brony community and the impactful moments that led to our transition. Join us as we explore the connection between these two fandoms, discussing themes, values, and personal experiences. Sit back and relax and tune in for a fun and lively discussion on our journey through the brony fandom. I'm Stream Arcadet.
I'm Toffee Buttercow.
And I'm Moo.
So I hope you two are having a fantastic day. Now, I will note that I don't know much about the brony fandom. This is why today, in today's episode, I'll be moderating, and you girls are going to be doing most of the talking. Whiplash was supposed to participate in this episode, but for personal reason, he was not able to attend. Please, Whiplash, take care of yourself, and come back when you're ready. So we'll start off first. How did you first become aware of the brony fandom, and what was your initial reaction to it? Toffee, why don't you start?
All right. So I was first introduced to the brony fandom because my brother had sent me a pony meme back in 2011, 2012. And I looked at it and like, what is this? Like, I get it. I'm a girl, but come on, little kid show. That's kind of not my thing. But then I started like deeping like fervor into it. Like, huh, you know, this might actually suit me well, so I just kind of rolled with it, you know? Even though I was super hesitant at first, but I was looking at my options and I created something and it, yeah, kind of stuck with me for like a solid 8 years.
Wow, really? What about you, Moo Moo?
When the fandom started, like, actually starting stuff, and lots of people were flocking to it, I was actually still a kid. I'm quite younger than a lot of the group here. So I was, like, middle school to high school at this and I was on this app on iOS called Drawcast. And I started seeing people's ref sheets for, like, their pony sonas and, like, role plays and stuff like that. And I saw them, and I was like, wow, you know, these sonas are really cool. I want to make one myself. And so I started, like, designing a sona for me. And I started, like, getting involved with a lot of the people who were, like, actually, like, watching the show and creating content. And I just ended up making myself a sona and becoming friends with a lot of people who are also bronies and Pegasisters.
And what was your favorite aspect of My Little Pony? You know, the whole, like, friendship is magic. How did it influence your involvement with the brony community?
A lot of the show focuses on being positive and kind of, like, optimistic, and despite having, like, things going on around you that may necessarily not be the best. And I feel like a lot of those aspects helped me with, like, creating my own art and being, like, you know, involved with, like, my friends outside of the internet and, like, also on the internet. I feel like a lot of it was just really impactful, and it actually had some teachings that did, in the end, help me navigate some, like, relationships and stuff. So, I don't know, I feel like the characters and the messages are just very impactful.
I've kind of been told, I haven't watched any, like, you know, My Little Pony episode, but I told them that they have really interesting core values and nice morals, a little bit, like, kind of Bluey, the way they do it. They always mm-hmm. teach you, like, a certain thing. It's very positive. It kind of sounds interesting to me. I've never watched an episode, but I've known a few friends that were into it. I was introduced to it. I've heard about it through one of my airsoft friends, actually. I've known him for what, about like 11 or 12 years now. He told me he was into the brony fandom, and I was like, ooh, what is that? What's that about? And he told me, well, basically, it's about the show My Little Pony, and we kind of gather up, we watch episodes, there's also conventions and stuff, so I'm like, okay, I have a lot more questions now, because I'm wondering, how does it work, and I've heard about the, you know, pony sonas and stuff, so it's definitely going to be interesting. Toffee, what about you? What was your favorite aspect of My Little Pony?
My main draw to it was just the talks about friendship and, like, just bonding, having good relationships with people. Me being autistic growing up, I wasn't really good at social skills at all. But that show did help me a lot. I actually learned a lot about friendship from Friendship is Magic. Who would have thought? I just watched and I saw the characters just talking to each other and whatever, and I was able to gain a lot more, skills about talking to people properly and just trying to maintain those relationships that I've always wanted. And because of that, I grew a lot more as a person, and I was actually able to go make friends of my own, which was something I hadn't been able to do pretty much my entire life, until I hit high school because of that show, so it was valuable to me.
Do you think you could explain to me what's the point of My Little Pony? What's the story? What's, like, the character development? What's happening? What is exactly the show about for people listening that don't know what it is about? Could you explain it to me?
So the story revolves around our main character, Twilight Sparkle. She comes from a special school for gifted unicorns. I believe it was gifted unicorns. I can't remember if it was the other races, yeah. But she was super talented with her magic, and she excelled in all of her classes. The one thing that she didn't know how to do, though, was make friends. She was always alone. She didn't really have anyone besides her apprentice, which was a little purple dragon named Spike. And so the princess of the show sent her off to a new town to live in to go make bonds with new people, make friends, and that was pretty much the entire point of the show. Just be friends because, I wish I could word this better, but, make friends, and just go through experiences with other people. You don't have to do everything by yourself. It's always good to have the help of others with you. That was pretty much the entirety of the show.
That sounds pretty good. It sounds pretty wholesome, I gotta say. What were some of the highlights and memorable moments of being part of the Brony community?
A big highlight for me of being part of the Brony fandom would probably honestly be all of the creatives that are a part of it. If you go and look at a lot of furries today, a lot of them were artists that came from the Brony fandom. And same with music artists. Like, you could point out the Living Tombstone. You could point out Wooden Poster. You point out just, like, a big handful of Bronies that from one fandom moved on and became a furry. And a lot of them still are making music and creating and just doing a lot of stuff, going to conventions. And it's really fulfilling to see a lot of people that you grew up kind of like idolizing become just another person in a community that you're in.
It seems to be like it's a very tight and very unified community. What about you, Tiffy? What is one of your biggest highlights in being part of the Brony fandom?
So, I actually was able to go into high school seeking out friends that shared similar interests, because I was mainly looking for people who also watched the show, since I found out about it when I was, like, ending my middle school era. And I did manage to finally get a group of friends to actually hang out with me, and we talked about it. I met my best friend from being a Brony. I met my first boyfriend from being a Brony. Of course, all of that was in the past. I don't have those connections anymore. However, I did lean more into my online life, which pretty much started the start of me, just me in general, getting me to where I am now. I would go on, like, the Brony social sites. I would meet friends. I still have connections with some online friends from the Brony community that I met 10 years ago, and we're still kicking it. We're still talking to each other.
Well, clearly it seems like it has changed your life for the best. You said yourself that you were kind of an introvert, and it allowed you to build a friend circle and work on yourself a little bit to be a little bit more outgoing and be more a little bit more courageous for meeting new people, basically.
Yes.
I mean, it's a good thing. That's great. I think it's fantastic. I mean, if a show can give you some really good values and work on stuff that you might be struggling, I think it's fantastic. I think it's great. Speaking of like doing improvement and stuff like that, were there some key turning points that made you consider transitioning from the brony fandom to the furry fandom? Because clearly we're not hanging out as furries, but you have a brony background. What was the key turning point that made you switch over?
The main turning point was actually not brony related or anything of the sorts. By the time I had transitioned over to a furry, I was kind of done with the community because I became a furry 2 years ago. The show was already over. None of my brony aspects had helped me transition over. I just kind of discovered that myself. With my best friend's help, we were able to get me to being a furry. Unfortunately, it was not really pony related.
So basically, it's just something, another fandom you discovered and you liked it and you just slowly transitioned. It was not really anything specific. You just found out about it and you liked it.
Yes.
But we both kept the hooves.
Yeah, you did.
We
you sure
the
did. You,
the cows.
You kept the hooves for both of you. That's hilarious. What about you, Mumu? What was your transitioning point from going brony to furry? I mean, I'm pretty sure we both are still bronies, but like going to entering the furry fandom.
Before COVID, I wasn't really interacting with a lot of the brony community anymore, just because of the fact that, like, you know, the show was over. Things had slowed down, you know? Like, I still kept up with, like, you know, a lot of the creatives who were, like, making art and stuff, and I noticed that a lot of them themselves had started, like, you know, being furries. And, you know, I like art. I draw, you know. So I started interacting with that media, and then also I was a part of an Arma 3 group, a Milsim group. And my best friend is a furry, and actually is a furry streamer, and he was making Arma Ops, and I would sit in there while he was making Arma Ops. So we became like really, really good friends. I love him. Vox, if you see this, I love you. But I would sit with him, and he was like, hey, you know, like, I had an idea for this. Could you like sketch me something? And like, I'd sketch stuff, and like, he would always be really enthusiastic about my art and everything. And so I just kind of snowballed into being a furry, and yeah, my entire cow existence is kind of an inside joke about like my actual name, and just like a couple other aspects of me. But I don't think that a lot of aspects of me brony really pushed me to that point. It was more about the people that surrounded me, because I don't know, we all come from different walks of life, and coming together is honestly the best thing that can happen.
Well, it clearly had a really big impact on your life. How do you incorporate elements from My Little Pony into your furry persona or creative work? Clearly, we mentioned the hooves, but is there anything else?
Actually, I still have a ref sheet of my pony Sona. I actually made a new ref sheet of her like a year ago. So she's still updated. I still have her. I still draw her on occasion. I have friends that I've met in the furry fandom that did come from the brony fandom, and like I've drawn their pony sonas with mine. I don't know, there's not a whole lot to it, but I do enjoy having my characters interact with my friend's character.
That's really cool. How about you, Tofi?
So, I'm gonna have to post a picture of my Sona, because I still have, like, all of the pictures of her. But there are a lot of similarities between my pony Sona and my fur Sona. Starting with the name, I've always been a big buff into, desserts or bakery or any of that. So, of course, her name was Buttercream Blend, Buttercream being a type of icing. And and I had to keep the name, like the theming of names going, so that's why I named myself Toffee. When it comes to looks, our color schemes are pretty much almost the same, except that her hair is, like dirt blonde, and I have like the light blonde going on, but we look very similar. Like the eye colors are almost the same. Coat color definitely the same. She doesn't have any markings or anything special. We're both very short. I made her a Shetland pony, which is like one of the smallest breeds of horses that you can get, and I'm a Jersey cow, which is probably the one of the smallest breeds of cow that you can find on Earth. I kept a lot of things. What?
That's really interesting. That's really interesting that your old pony Sona is similar to you, but my old pony Sona is like nowhere close to like any sort of this.
It's polar opposite.
You're polar opposite. Nowhere near. Very different.
You know, it's kind of like.
Sorry, it's like the motto, yeah.
People like get alike, and then like opposites attract. Like you're both side of like that proverb.
Look at all of my characters; they're all very much me. Like the one behind the cow, behind the pony, me. Like actually me. They're all very similar for a reason, so I don't lose track and have to like think of all these crazy ideas. So that's why I keep everything very simple and very similar. To each other.
Stay in the loop with the Top Dogs podcast by subscribing to our YouTube channel and ringing that notification bell. Follow us on your favorite podcast platform and hit that follow button to get notified about every new episode. Show your love by leaving us a quick review and rating, and connect with our community on Discord and Telegram. You'll find all the links in our link tree below, and thank you for your support.
Hey, Top Dogs fan, want to snag some awesome perks while supporting us? Check out our server subscription on Discord or Patreon. Become a podcast supporter and get exclusive behind-the-scenes footage, join supporter meetups, and use custom hand-drawn emojis featuring the Top Dogs team, and chat with the podcast team and the fellow fans. Plus, don't miss the new After Dog show for mature audiences only at $2.99 a month. Craving more? Upgrade to the Podcast Supporter Plus for $5.99 a month, and enjoy episode voting, suggest podcast episodes, and join our live audience without the need of a VR chat account or VR headset, as we now stream the live audience on our Discord server. Plus, get exclusive sneak peeks of upcoming ideas, merch drops, and much more in the future. There's no obligations to join these subscriptions, but your support genuinely makes a huge difference and for our team. And to those who've already subscribed, a heartfelt thank you from the bottom of our hearts. For this week's question of the week, if you had the option to change your fursona to a pony, what species would you be? Pegasus, unicorn, or earth pony? Justin the Fire Wolf Dog says, definitely Pegasus, because I used to be a fan of Rainbow Dash, and I also love to fly very fast and swifty. I gotta admit, I love flying too. Rojo the Demon Wolf, unicorn, possibly because of dark magic. That's definitely interesting. Moltegas says, I would pick a unicorn for magic, but I don't know if I would I could stand listening to Always by Erasure 24/7. Bodhi says, unicorn, because it shows how happy I can be. Absolutely. You have really good positive energy, Bodhi. Rashinko says, unicorn, because magic. Lol.
magic lol. Honest,
what about you girls? What would you pick?
Pegasus. I like wings. Wings are cool. Like, who doesn't want to fly?
I agree. I would do the same thing probably because I love flying. If I could fly whenever I want, that would be amazing.
You wouldn't have to like have a car unless you really wanted. You could just fly somewhere and like, boom, you're there.
The convenience for me.
Exactly.
Tops it. The magic is cool, but the convenience. Unless you're a unicorn that wishes to have wings, does that work?
That would be an alicorn.
An alicorn. Okay, that would definitely be subject for debate. I think that could be very interesting. What about you, Tofi?
So when I was first creating my character, I wanted to be a Pegasus. I, like, did a test run of it, only to realize that unless I'm on a roller coaster or whatever, I'm actually afraid of heights, so I'm staying on the ground. I'm an earth pony. I want to go fast on ground. I don't want to fly.
Oh my god.
That's awesome. That's really funny.
All right, then.
Oh boy. Well, I'm kind of curious. Do you guys see any overlaps between the values and themes of My Little Pony and those of the furry community? Why don't you get us started, Tofi? Computing. Rebooting.
I had to, like, reread the question, like, 3 times.
Coffee.exe has stopped working.
I honestly thought we were continuing. I'm not ready yet. Vumu, please go first.
Okay, I'll go. I do see a lot of overlap with, like, values and stuff like that, especially when it comes to, like, the sense of community. There's always been just a wide variety of people that come from, like, different backgrounds, different groups, you know, whether you're, you know, a part of, like, the upper class, middle class, you know, whatever, anything. When you become a part of a community like the Brony fandom or even, like, the furry fandom, a lot of that just kind of drifts away because you tend to end up seeing a person just for who they are. Because we create these caricatures of ourselves to represent us. And even though they might not strictly be exactly who we are, I feel like what it does is it gives us the ability to forefront the aspects of ourselves that we would not be able to otherwise express. So if you're, like, anxious, you might feel more comfortable online being on VR chat, you know? You might feel more comfortable to do something like this and talk to more people and get involved if you don't have to really, like, show your face and be out in front of a crowd. And it honestly just brings a large sense of community and support, and I really enjoy that aspect.
I'm still relatively new to the furry community. Again, I started 2 years ago. So there's still a lot, there is a lot for me to learn about just the whole furry community as a whole. But from what I have experienced, community does play a big part of... That's what I value most, just community and meeting the friends. I'm gonna sound like a broken record, I've said it multiple times, friends do matter in my case. With me going in, I started off small, and then I met more people, and more people, and more people, and now I'm here, and I'm very thankful for what I've learned from all the values and stuff from when I was a brony, and then taking what I could and moving it over to when I became a furry. I feel more, now I'm more prepared to go into something that I can really fit myself into being a furry, as I am becoming more and more of a furry, every year.
Now, we just talked about the similarities. What about, you know, what are the clear things that are clearly a difference between the two, the bronies and the furries?
I honestly don't see anything different at the time. Again, still new to this. Don't know what I'm really getting myself into here. Hopefully, I'll figure out the differences someday. I mean, the fact that not everybody's a horse, I guess that's one difference, right?
Yeah.
There's all different types of animals going around here. That's all I can really think of. We're all not horses. Let's go. We're free.
Woo! Well, not quite. We're still stuck with the hoofs. Drama happens in every fandom, right? It does. It really
Absolutely.
Does.
Absolutely.
I would say that there is a difference in the type of drama that happens with furries versus the type of drama that happens with bronies. Because, when you're in the brony fandom, it is really close-knit, you know? And if something that is said isn't true, it will spread like wildfire. Like, it's one thing to see drama in the furry community because you typically see, you know, call out posts and stuff like that. Or you see, you know, bewares for like different artists and stuff like that. And you'll see these things. But with the Brony fandom, I've noticed that it's hard to get away from that a lot with just a lot of drama. There's just a lot of it.
Is it because it's smaller? It's a smaller community than the furry fandom. That way, like, the information stays longer around. It doesn't spread as much, and it stays really contained into a group of people.
It does kind of stay a little contained, but once it's there, it doesn't leave.
Would you say people tend to hold grudges, or like?
Yes, very much so. Very much so.
Absolutely.
It's kind of odd to me because for a show that is based off making friends and making friendship, it's kind of counterintuitive to me to think that, you know, they can hold grudges for so long. Do you guys know a reason why that could be so?
I feel like, just like any community, there will be bad people. There will be bad apples, you know. There's always going to be someone there that creates problems. Under the guise of wanting to be accepting and friendly, and yeah, so quite frankly, just be careful who you interact with, because it could go either way.
I mean, like, drama is literally everywhere. Like, it doesn't matter what community or fandom you're in, it's always going to be there. If you don't see drama, it's because of two reasons. One, you haven't been there for long enough, and two, you haven't been applied, like, participating as much as other people. I come from a cosplay and airsoft background, and oh my god, there was so much drama in the airsoft community.
Oh yeah.
People that think they were better than anyone, and they would show off their gear, and then I hear about the furry fandom, and I'm like, oh wow, they're just people giving themselves hugs. How could there be any sort of drama in this fandom because everybody's so friendly? Boy, was I wrong. There was so much drama in the furry fandom. Yeah, so when I realized this, that's why I went to the conclusion of, like, it's just, you know, drama is everywhere. And there's always going to be bad apples. So don't focus on these people. Focus on the positive. As hard as it is, positive should always outweigh the bads, you know. It's gonna be
exactly.
But I'm kind of curious. Do you feel like there's kind of a natural progression from the Brony fandom to the furry fandom for some people? And if so, why do you think it happens?
Honestly, it really depends on the person who's migrating. It depends on what steps they take to move over, because you could be like me, where I was in the Brony community, and then I stopped a little over three-fourths of the way through. I just went solo. And then I found the furry community. It really does depend on how social you'd like to be. Like, if you want to even continue to go back into any communities and whatever. If you want, like, I guess the Brony community was a trial run for a lot of furries, it sounds like. Yeah.
Trial run.
I was thinking of, should I go back into it? And then I realized, wow, I'm lonely doing solo stuff. Yeah, I'll go into the furry community. Let's try it out and see if I can do better this time. And that was pretty much it.
Feel like the progression very much so is just like any furry, I guess. Because I know we had an episode about this where we talked about like different medias that got us into being a furry, and I feel like it's very similar. Because I was interested in, like, The Secret of Nim. I was interested in, like, Disney's Robin Hood, you know? Like, I don't feel like me being interested in My Little Pony really changed that kind of progression. Because they're all anthropomorphic animals, you know? They all have human characteristics. They all have human aspects, you know? The timeline's different for everyone, but I really don't feel like it was super different to the point where you could just, like, chop it and then push it to the side and be like, oh yeah, this is 100% different than this one. Because they're all anthropomorphic animals, let's be honest.
I'm kind of curious. Like, I've noticed, like, Brony, like, My Little Pony, they're on four legs. When you guys make Brony Sona, your Pony Sona, if I'm saying this correctly, wow, I feel like an idiot. Do you draw them on all four legs, or are they into an anthropomorphic form?
It really depends on the artist, quite honestly, because there are a lot of people who are bronies and Pegasisters who do draw their ponies anthropomorphized. I'm not one of them. I personally like the look of the, you know, boar hooves all on the ground. Because, like, I don't know, the joint aspects is, like, really cool to me. I feel like it adds to the character. But, it really does depend on the artist, or, like, who you're commissioning, or just, like, the style of what someone wants. Because you could go either way.
Yeah, I was also the person that, had all four legs on the ground, because... Just like a majority of, like, a good half of furries, like, oh, I was originally a furry hater. Oh, I didn't think I was gonna get into that. So every time I saw, like, the anthropomorphic, ponies, I'm like, wow, that's leaning into furry. I didn't want to do that at the time. That didn't seem like a me thing, and I felt it was too weird. Look at me now. Woo! But yeah, I just prefer... yeah, surprise! I prefer the original style look of the ponies.
What advice would you give someone in the Brony fandom who's curious about joining the furry community? Why don't you start, Mumu?
Don't be scared. We're all nerds, okay? You have interests. We have interests. Everyone has interests. Yours happens to be ponies? Whatever. Come on, join us. Come on. Right here.
Come here.
Right here. Yeah, come on. We're waiting.
Come here. Come in the furry venom. Join the dark side.
Come here. Join the dark side.
Oh, boy.
All right. Okay, Bronies, listen to me. I know the Brony fandom was one hell of a ride. Okay. It's... Furries are kind of the same, but just take it slow. I know you probably want to take a break from just joining into the next fandom, but from my time here, it's been wonderful so far. I feel like you'd have a lot better time here if you come into the present and become a furry, instead of staying in the past and just staying as a brony. There's all sorts of new experiences you can... introduce yourself to. I say just come on over. It's fine. You're not alone in this. You'll be okay. Just come on. Come here. All the hugs. Come
join
here.
Us. Join us.
Join us.
I was actually surprised when we brought up the idea of doing an episode about the Brony fandom. I was surprised how many people on the Dog Dog staff actually come from the Brony fandom. I was actually surprised to a point where it deserved its own episode, and I think that's just great because, you know, the furry fandom, we include everybody. Now, I have another question. What about Brony cons? Is that still a thing that exists nowadays?
Yes.
Or
yes.
They do? Oh, wow, that's cool. Can you tell me a little bit about it? Just a few minutes.
In fact, the most recent con that happened was like last weekend, and it was Winnie City. You know, Windy City, like Chicago, the Windy City. It was Winnie, like Horse Winnie. I saw that there was like a lot of special guests and stuff, and it's honestly really similar to how fur cons are. You go hang out with friends, you know, go do stuff, go to panels, go to merch, you know, dealer's den, whatever.
Is there a costume over there as well?
Costumes? Oh yeah, no, people would specifically like get fursuits of ponies. They would just go to the same fursuit makers like, hey, can you do ponies? Cool? Yeah, alright, can you make me like a $6,000 suit of my Sona? So, pretty much the same thing. Of course, yeah. I've never been to a pony con, so I actually didn't know they were still going. I thought all of that died in 2020.
No, they're still going.
So... I've never been to one, so I wouldn't know.
That's super interesting. I didn't know there was still a thing. I didn't even know, actually, like, so you guys said earlier that the whole My Little Pony, the show ended in, I'm guessing, 2020? That was when the last episode aired, or?
I think so, right?
Yeah, it had a 10-year run. It was, like, 10 years of just the show. It had to have ended in, like, early 2020.
You've evolved a lot through the Brony fandom, you know, being more out there, socializing. How has that and the furry fandom helped you influence your personal growth?
With all that I've learned so far from back when I was a Brony and now being a furry, socialization has gone up. It was like down here all the way up here. Like, I'm more social. Trust me, if you were to talk to me 5 years ago, I would have never done anything like this. I wouldn't be, like, on this stage or any of this. I wouldn't know any of you. I would just be in the corner, being a hermit, like, always. I'm very glad of my own personal growth when it comes to socialization. That was, like, the main thing I got from it.
Oh, that's fantastic. I'm really happy for you. I think it's great. What about you, Mumu?
So if you watched the previous episode or you were here for the previous episode, I had a pretty harsh childhood. It was not the best. But quite honestly, I kind of just attached myself to the Brony fandom, and I was able to, quite frankly, have an escape, kind of. And it really did help me come out of my shell. It helped me, you know, be a little more social, like how Toffee was. I didn't like talking to people before, quite frankly. I just kind of kept to myself. But being in the fandom, I was able to grow as an artist and as a person, and quite honestly, I am happy that I had joined. Because if I was not there and I had not started that path, I also would not be here. Because I also wouldn't have reached out to people. I also wouldn't have gained the friends that I did. I wouldn't know Toffee, I wouldn't know you, and I wouldn't know, quite frankly, anybody on this team. And you all mean a lot to me, and I honestly could not imagine life today without any of you guys. I love you guys, genuinely.
Oh, I love you too. Thank you so much. You're amazing. It's fun to have you on the team. You both of you girls are absolutely fantastic. It's fun to hang out. I'm glad we got to hang out for real at FWA 2024. That was a blast. That was really fun.
Hell yeah. That was awesome.
All right. Well, I think we've reached the end of this episode. Did you guys had anything else to say you wanted to add to this episode?
Don't be afraid to have new interests. Quite frankly, if you try something, you know, try to join a community and just do whatever, maybe get new friends that are in a different community than you. Don't be afraid to join it. There's a lot of cool people that you can meet. There's a lot of cool things you can do. There's a lot of cool events, and don't let stigma keep you back.
Well, thank you, girls, so much for answering these questions. I've sure learned a lot. I hope you guys listening right now learned a little bit more about the Brony fandom. On that note, I wish everybody to have a fantastic day, a fantastic night, a fantastic evening, a fantastic morning. We'll get to see you guys next week. And on that note, take care, everybody. Have fun. Enjoy life. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.